Mike Conti, what a Saturday. What an incredible Saturday night.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. This has been such a fun ride to be on, and it's cool that it continues now for another 2 weeks. But I put that right up there, very close to winning an MLS Cup as far as overall achievements by the club. Because when you do it in a best of three, it's not just a one-off. When you do it in a best of three, and when you do it when Messi is scoring and Suarez is scoring and playing well and Jordi Alba is scoring and playing well and all of that, it's not a fluke. That's the thing. Like, this was not a fluke at all. And what was really encouraging to me, from game one to game three, Atlanta United got better as the series went along. So really, really cool. Very special. It's fun to see. I think the city is kind of reawakening a little bit to Atlanta United. And that's, look, I mean, 4 or 5 months ago, it was a little bleak.
Four or five weeks ago. You know, I mean, they're fighting for their lives to get into the playoffs.
Well, they've now, what was the stat I had? Four times in the last 3 weeks, they've played a game that they had to win to keep their season going, and they won all four. Three of them on the road. So, but I'm just talking about just the overall vibe of the fans towards the team. I mean, late summer, early fall was rough. It wasn't pretty. Yeah. And now you're starting to get some 2018 vibes. And that's the beauty of sports, because I would not have predicted that. I don't think you guys would have predicted that. And yet here we are. So let's keep enjoying it, right?
You think this layoff will hurt? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I do, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. I think you got momentum. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone else is dealing with it, too.
Right.
And Orlando's got three really key players who are also on international break right now. Atlanta has six. Mm-hmm. But this is – every team's got to deal with it. I would have really preferred to play Orlando this Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think you're just – you are – sky high right now and confident and locked in. I'm telling you guys, when I got on that plane with them on Friday to go down to Fort Lauderdale, that was a team that looked so locked in. I never thought at any point in that game on Saturday they were going to lose. Mm-hmm. That's just how good I felt about the body language and how mentally they seemed to be going down to Fort Lauderdale. I really would have preferred to play Orlando this weekend, but hey, this is what the league gets you, and Orlando's dealing with the same thing. It does remind me a little bit of the 2022 season, where Atlanta United had a couple really good performances in a row. They had a great draw against Philadelphia. It looked like they were about to save their season. Then they had an international break, and all the momentum was gone. They went to New England and got killed, and that was it. I hope that's not the case this time. But, yeah, I don't like it, Randy, to your point. I want to play now.
When Brad Guzan got shoved into the net after they scored their second goal, who was closer to jumping out of the press box, you or Jason?
Oh, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Did you hear the call? I mean, Jason was livid.
I was furious.
It was so cheap.
And it was crazy because it was him. It was like anybody else, I would have been mad. But because it was him.
Yeah.
I don't like that guy.
Oh, yeah, Suarez?
Yeah.
Suarez should have been sent off was Campana. Mm-hmm. Because that was tantamount to a sucker punch, really.
So, look,
I get it. You know, the little guy is going to get certain protections, and his teammates are going to feel a certain kind of way. He scores. The goalkeeper and the little guy are both reaching for the ball at the same time because the little guy wants to run it back to center spot and kick it off. Cool. John Boy actually did a really good breakdown of this.
You know you've made it when John Boy is picking
this play apart now. So, yeah, I mean, I guess Brad and the little guy collide a little bit when they're both going for the ball. For Campana to race in there and essentially sucker punch Brad, and then you're right, Suarez, who was a complete jerk the entire series.
Dude, that guy whines incessantly.
And dives relentlessly.
And he's a big-ass dude. Like, he has no reason to be flopping around
like
that.
Well, it's like I said during the broadcast on Saturday, it's so disrespectful to the game when you go out and you dive like that. The one thing, though, you can say about Suarez is it's not the most disrespectful thing he has ever done to the game. Because he has literally bit players multiple times in the World Cup.
Yeah, he bit some people,
So, I mean, on the Suarez level of atrocities, this was pretty kind low. But Campana should have been sent off, and that would have been a huge call because Atlanta won the game anyway. But you would have been playing 11-10. You might have won the game 4-2 or 5-2, as opposed to having to see it out the way it did. But, hey, ball don't lie.
Nope.
And, you know, Jason, I agree with the comment he made during the second half. It became very apparent that calls were just not going to be made in your favor in the second half of the game, so you're going to have to overcome that. And they did. They overcame everything that Miami threw at them and all the external factors that were thrown at them. They overcame, and they did it. And it's such a huge accomplishment for this team. I think it's more difficult than any of the trophies they won in 2019. I put it right up there with maybe just below winning the Cup in 2018.
Mike, what did you take away from Garth today on with Steakhouse?
Yeah, that was a fascinating interview.
Right.
Couple things. What I was really listening most for was, is there any kind of information that would give you a hint on where Rob stands right now? Because I'm getting that question a lot.
Sure.
Like, has Rob won the job now because they took out Messi? And based on that Garth Lagerwey interview, it sounds to me that the answer is not yet. That they're still going through the process. Garth did confirm he had a conversation with Rob about it yesterday. But they're still going through the process, and Rob said the further this goes, the better the chance. So, to me, that is not a confirmation that Rob Valentino has the job yet. And that's what I was most listening for. The other stuff about, they knew that they didn't have a team that could win anything with the personalities that they had in the locker room at the beginning of the year. You can probably pick that apart and figure that out pretty easily on who he may have been referring to. Because there was an unexpected departure, around Memorial Day-ish. There's an unexpected departure that really derailed things for months for this team. And, in fact, they still haven't really replaced that unexpected departure. I mean, TRA did a great job on Saturday. And Daniel Rios has played above the expectation for him. So they've been able to plot on. But I don't think it's too difficult to peel that apart and figure out who Garth may or may not have been talking about.
No, I don't think so. Plus, also, I mean, look, they did what they did, and then they also made changes in the front office. So and the coaching staff. So, like, clearly, was unhappy with the direction.
I do want to point out one thing, though. Like, the players who have really helped Atlanta United in this playoff, Pedro Amador, I think, has been their
incredible
next to Guzan.
Yeah.
Pedro Amador has been their best outfield player. That was a Carlos Bocanegra signing.
Sure.
The same. Derek Williams, who I think has been brilliant all year, that was a Carlos signing. Maranchuk, Carlos signing. So they haven't done anything since making the front office change. I want to make sure that Carlos gets the credit that I think he should get for that. Did he make some incorrect moves? Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, we talked about that when he was let go. Like, no one bats 1,000. He certainly did not. But I think it would be unfair to say, oh yeah, you made all these changes after you changed the front office, when in reality that's not really the case. The change came after they made those signings.
NBA Cup starts tonight.
Man, I am
for
so
many various
up.
Teams, including the Atlanta Hawks.
You know, this is how you know Trey must be really, really in pain. Really, really in pain. Because I mean, if you're unable to get up and play in an NBA Cup
against the defending champion.
Well, forget that. It's the Cup.
They're not the defending Cup champions. That's the Lakers.
Yeah. Thank you. You know? I mean, it's one thing to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. That's an achievement. But you're talking about the magic of the Cup. And
Who's this Cup named after? Do we know?
Emirates Airlines.
Okay.
Yeah. The Emirates NBA Cup.
Got it. Okay.
Oh. I'm not joking.
I don't think you're joking.
Yeah. The Emirates NBA Cup. I don't know.
Where's that money come from?
You know what? Here's what I'll say. And the Hawks are facing a very uphill battle tonight against the Celtics team that you're not going to have Trey or really any of the guys have been out for a while. So this is going to be really, really tough. By the way, who starts at point guard tonight? Like, what do you do there?
Me, I think. I think you put me out there. I'm flying up.
I don't know. Is it Keaton Wallace?
Yeah.
I really don't know what you do. boy, that's a problem for Quinn Snyder to solve. But I will say this in general about the Cup. I've been a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But in reality, the players did talk last year about how there was a palpable change in intensity for these games. And the players really did enjoy playing for that trophy, playing for the chance to go to Vegas, playing for the money. So I do expect these next Tuesday, Friday games for the next couple weeks, you're going to feel it. And you play on the special courts and you wear the fun uniforms and everything. So it'll be a little bit different, honestly, in a time right now where this early part of the NBA season has been completely vanished in the mix of pro football and college football and everything. And a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. Like, the NBA has had a very, in my opinion, slow start.
The numbers show, too.
It's too bad because a lot of really interesting stuff going on. Like, a lot of really fascinating teams.
Well, I'll tell you this. When the national media decided that Bronny was going to be the big week one storyline, I think they ran a lot of casual fans away.
I agree.
I guess hold on to Christmas and we'll all get excited again. But we'll see what the NBA Cup does.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys.
We appreciate it.